In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I grew up in India at a time when we didn't have TV, and the radio was rare. It took great innovation on the part of my parents to keep us children, a half a dozen of us, entertained and occupied. One of the activities we children loved was hearing stories, especially by my father, who was a great storyteller. We would sit next to him to hear him tell us stories. We would ask him to tell us our favorite ones over and over. The scarier the stories are, the greater the demand. We would never get tired or bored. We knew the story, we knew how it would end, yet we would want to hear it over and over again. We all know the story of the Passion of our Lord, and we all know how it would end. But we want to hear it again and again. Every year, we hear the Passion told to us at least twice. On Palm Sunday, we hear a version of the Passion from either Mark, Matthew, or Luke, depending on the liturgical year. And on Good Friday, we will hear it from John. Why do we long to hear this Passion narrative over and over? We want to hear it because it is a story of our salvation. Each time we listen to it, we hear something new, something that provokes our thought, something that disturbs our feelings. This time, what made me think and disturb was this verse. There were also women looking on from a distance. What does it mean, looking on from a distance? It means a safe distance, a comfortable distance from being seen by the Romans and by the temple authorities. In other words, Jesus was hanging on the cross all by himself with none of his close friends or relatives around. They were all at a distance, safe and comfortable distance from the cross. We started our service today uttering Hosanna to the Lord, waving palms in our hands. In doing so, we recall the aspirations of the Jewish people of Jesus' time for an insurrection or revolution, toppling the power of the Roman authorities who brutally and mercilessly occupied the land. Jerusalem was teeming with thousands of people who were there for their most important of the holy days, the Passover. The air over Jerusalem exuded a sense of euphoria of something big about to happen. Their leader, the one they were waiting for, their Messiah, the one who was making his way to Jerusalem through Galilee, attracting thousands of people, curing diseases, performing miracles, and teaching with great authority. That Jesus, that Messiah, is now finally in Jerusalem, his rightful place. Soon the insurrection, the revolution that they were hoping for would take place. And once again, they would have the throne of their King David, the great King David, will be reestablished. On that day, at that moment, the Jewish nation and their Messiah, Jesus, were on the edge of glory. However, Jesus was at the crossroads. Which way to go? Whether the path of an armed insurrection against the Romans or the path of nonviolence, of humility, self-surrender, and sacrifice. Would Jesus take the path of achieving the narrow interest of the Jewish nationalism, or would he take the path that would bring about universal salvation? The glory he sought was the glory of being raised on the cross for redemption of the world by the hands of the people of narrow interests and vested interests. It wasn't that Jesus was not interested in the political freedom of his people. It wasn't that Jesus didn't care in the struggle of the Jewish people, enslaved by others, especially the Romans. But his mission was to show us a new way to overcome evil, the way of nonviolence and peace. As we make our way through the Passion reading, we see a progressive diminishment in the number of his followers. The crowd who shouted Hosanna in the beginning was now crying to crucify him. They slowly turned away one by one. Even his close followers began to lose faith in him. One of the disciples betrayed him, another denied him, and others went into hiding. According to Mark, even the women followers, who showed more courage than men followers, were looking at the cross from a distance. Perhaps that was the most agonizing part of Jesus. It wasn't the lashing, it wasn't the beating, it was not the spitting or the humiliation, not being nailed to the cross, but it was the absence of his closest friends and disciples at the time of his need. That was most agonizing. Even the most courageous among them could look at him only from a distance. It bothers me to read that they were looking from a distance. But then when I think about myself in their shoes at that time, would I be anywhere near that cross? Absolutely not. I shouldn't be righteous about myself and be judgmental on those women for keeping a distance from Jesus and what he stood for. Where is my conviction? Where is my passion? Where is my passion for the way of the cross? Is the way of the cross on trial today? Am I not betraying the path of Jesus showed when I wish for armed insurrection by people for their human rights, or military intervention by our government for world peace? Am I not denying the path Jesus showed when I deny my own culpability in the degradation of the environment? Am I not keeping my distance from the path of Jesus when I look away from the efforts to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, cure the sick, releasing the young boys and girls from human traffickers? Am I not keeping my distance from the path of Jesus when I don't offer my presence to those who are undergoing difficult situations in their life, whether in the church or outside the church? This Holy Week that awaits us now makes us realize that, as Sister Chittister says, life as we know it is not the reason for which we were born. It is not the purpose of our existence. This life, good as it may be, is at best the spiritual way station in which we ply our commitment to the Lord of the universe. As we gaze at Jesus, that cross, like the women of Galilee from a distance, let us hear Jesus calling us out to let go our narrow interests and our narrow loves, and then to transcend ourselves for higher purposes and commitments that of eternal nature. Let us pray to God to help us see to be is to stand for. Help us to take a stand against sin and evil and for goodness and truth. When we feel overwhelmed by the evil we see and experience and by the sense of our own powerlessness, remind us of Jesus, who faced opposition, suffering and death with love and courage and total trust in you. Amen.